Tonight, I'm going to talk about meditation, which is so important. So I'm going to explain what I teach about meditation. And then the next two evenings, which are the last two evenings of the course, I will be talking about bridges into presence and what it's like to be in presence, live from presence, how to get there. So we're moving away from talking about the ego, and then we'll be talking about essence. And in between here, we're going to talk about meditation. First of all, I want to invite Master Jesus and all the other ascended masters who are here to assist in this work. Help us to assimilate what's being taught and help me to present it in the clearest way possible. The most important thing about meditation is that you do it. The biggest reason I'm doing this talk is to encourage you and inspire you to meditate. And I know I've mentioned before how important I do feel it is. There really isn't anything more important you can do for your spiritual life. The reason that's the case is because meditation is what changes your brain from the default, which is listening to the egoic mind, to using more of your prefrontal cortex, which is the part of your brain that increases compassion, intuition, sensitivity, rational thinking, calmness, peace. So this moving from the ego to essence, from the false self to the true self, is reflected in a change in our brains. The default is to be in our fight or flight, our limbic side of the brain, unfortunately. And the ego's voice is the voice of that brain, that lower brain, that archaic brain. And the voice of the true self can come through when we move beyond that part of the brain to the higher part of the brain. If only this were easier to do. It's not so easy to change the brain. I think the only thing that can do this, which is why it's been taught in spiritual traditions throughout time, is meditation and other spiritual practices. We have to train the brain. We have to grow the neurons. We have to strengthen the prefrontal cortex. And reading books won't do that. Listening to me won't do that. And that's what I came to see in all of the counseling that I did on the phone and in all of the books that people read. I found that they still had difficulty being present. And then I would say, "Do you meditate?" And invariably they would say no. To me, meditation has made that difference. And I think a lot of people would agree. And in fact, neuroscience agrees. There is a thickening of the brain that happens and connections that are made when we practice meditation or mindfulness or even just focusing the mind. Meditation is so important, because it's the only thing that does this. So to think that you can actually grow spiritually quickly without meditation is, I think, to fool yourself. And what could be fooling yourself would be the egoic mind. Because the egoic mind definitely doesn't want you to meditate. So it will come up with all sorts of excuses and reasons. So part of establishing a meditation practice is to look into the thoughts, investigate the thoughts that might be preventing you from meditating on a regular basis. And by regular, I mean daily, and hopefully an hour a day. I know that sounds like a lot, but the benefits really don't start accruing. And the reward doesn't start to be felt until after your body has settled and your mind has settled some, which takes most people 20 minutes at least. It often takes 30 minutes Neuroscience has shown that after 40 minutes of meditation, there is usually a dropping into a deeper state. So please, 40 minutes at least. If you go an hour regularly, it will change your life. Doing it daily is really important because we're spending so much time all day long listening to our egoic mind and feeding it and reinforcing it. So it's really important to take that time whenever it's convenient, whenever you can, during your day, and set that hour aside. Make it the most important thing you do in a day, because it is. It's the most important thing. It's the most valuable thing. People always have time for things that are important, things that they value. But the egoic mind will tell you it's not valuable, it's not important, it won't matter, it's too hard, I can't do it because I fall asleep, I can't do it because all sorts of reasons, you name it. So look at those reasons. Look at the reasons for why you might keep yourself from meditating and why you might keep yourself from meditating for longer than 15 or 20 minutes. Because like I said, if you quit after 20 minutes, you won't experience the deepest reward of meditation. And so it's going to be harder to keep up a practice. If you really get going and get established in a meditation practice, you'll find that you look forward to it and that you enjoy it and you don't want to miss it and it's pleasurable. And that's what you want to get to. So the hardest part is getting established in the practice. So you have to do your best to get over that hump, whatever you can do. And you might have to really talk with yourself. Convince yourself that it's valuable and important. It really is. So having said that, here's a real key point that will help you get established in a meditation practice. Make it pleasurable. Find the right meditation for you. Get very, very comfortable. Do not sit in some uncomfortable position. Lean back on pillows. I sit in bed usually and lean back with pillows propping me. The importance of being comfortable is so that you can do it longer, because otherwise meditation is torture. So forget all of the positions and the postures, because what's more important is to meditate as long as possible, to do whatever it takes to make it pleasurable and comfortable so that you will do it. Now, I want to talk a little bit about breathing, because breathing is really important. All of the spiritual traditions emphasize breathing practices, and they do that for a very important reason. The breath is spirit. Our bodies come alive on our first breath, and they die on our last. Breath is intimately tied with spirit, with consciousness. Paying attention to your breath will bring you into alignment with your deepest self. And so one of the main meditations that is taught is simple paying attention to your breath. Just noticing the sensations of the breath. It doesn't mean thinking about breathing. You don't think about your breathing. You notice the feeling of the air going in and out of your nose, all the sensations. You might notice the sensation of your chest moving up and moving down, moving in, moving out. And when you breathe, make sure that it is a diaphragmatic breathing so that you're breathing from your diaphragm, not from your chest, so that your diaphragm, your upper stomach, moves out and in when you're breathing. The reason for that is that chest breathing is associated with shallow breathing and a repression of emotion. One of the things that happens when we breathe deeply, breathe smoothly, slowly, is that it often allows us contact with our intuition, and it might bring up feelings too from the subconscious to be healed, which is a good thing. Then you could just notice those feelings. So the practice of meditation is always a practice of noticing, just simple noticing. If you're focused on your breath, you're noticing your breath, noticing the sensations of your breath. And you might want to count your breaths. That's also a good way to keep focused on your breath, is counting your breaths. Now, a very interesting thing is that whenever you change the way you normally breathe, you will alter your consciousness. So if you breathe more deeply, or you breathe more slowly, or you breathe more quickly, or you do alternate nostril breathing, or you hold your breath, all of those things will alter your consciousness. It will shift you from the default to a deeper state of consciousness just by doing that, just by altering how you breathe for just a few minutes. So a breathing practice is a really good prelude to meditation. I want to speak a bit about the benefits of meditation. Just really briefly, what neuroscience has told us. It helps us get in contact with our intuition. It helps us heal emotionally, heal the wounds in the subconscious. It helps impulse control. So it allows us to slow down and stop and think before we react. It gives us a space, a reaction space, so that we don't impulsively act out of our conditioning. It calms the sympathetic nervous system and balances the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems. And this is important for physical health reasons. It has proven benefits for all sorts of physical health, including insomnia, heart and high blood pressure, so many health benefits. That's a reason to do meditation alone, is simply the physical health benefits. And a lot of people get into meditation for that reason. But it's much better to start a practice of meditation before you have problems, before your life is falling apart or you feel lost and confused. It will help you stay on track with your deepest self, stay connected with your deepest self. And another very important benefit is that it will help you be present in your day-to-day experience. Because I think it's very difficult to be present moment to moment unless you've been practicing being present in a meditation practice. So you practice meditating quietly in a conducive atmosphere before you take that practice out into the busy, stressful world. There are various kinds of meditation. And as I mentioned, the most common one is to meditate on your breath. The one I like the most is to meditate on sound, on music. I find that sound is a very powerful meditation. If you can find some uplifting music that is calming and that really suits you, that doesn't have words, meditating to music can be very wonderful. But it's also easy to meditate to the sounds in the environment, to just let the sounds be, notice them and let them be, and then notice the next sound and let it be. And anytime you catch yourself thinking, just notice that and bring yourself back to listening. Listening is especially powerful because it is, in a sense, what our true self is doing all the time. Our true self is sometimes called awareness. It's what is aware. And so when we're listening, we're being aware of sound. And we can also listen with our whole being when we meditate too. Listening is a metaphor for just simply being receptive to what is, to being with what is, to experiencing what is. Listening trains us to move into that receptive place of just being and just allowing and letting everything be as it is, without touching it, without pushing on it or pulling on it, or having an opinion or a judgment about it, or any other kind of thought or story. We just let it be. So the basic instruction for meditation is to focus on whatever you're focusing on, whether it's sound or your breath or something else. And whenever your mind wanders and you find yourself caught up in a thought, in a train of thought, just bring yourself gently back to the focus, back to listening, sensing, seeing, whatever it is that you're focusing on. And I say gently because if you resist the mind, the only thing that resists the mind is the mind itself. So that just strengthens the mind. So allowing the thought, but not getting involved in it. Letting the thought appear and letting it go. And moving your attention back to listening. This way you learn to be in this very still, quiet, receptive place. And you'll find that at a certain point, you do feel a shift. There's a shift in your energy as you drop down into this deeper place, which we can call presence, stillness, essence. It's a place of simple being, of calm, peace, all is well, everything is okay. So when you are in that simple place, that's it. That's the point of meditation, to bring you into this simple place of stillness. The point is not to have a spiritual experience. Although sometimes people do have spiritual experiences when they're meditating or otherwise. But the point of meditation or doing any kind of spiritual practice is not to have spiritual experiences. Those are byproducts, perhaps, but that isn't the purpose. The purpose is to train your brain, as I said. You're training it to go to this very simple, ordinary place of presence. It's not some cosmic, out there, wild place. In fact, it's so ordinary, you'll recognize it right away. You've been in it lots and lots of times. Even every day, you're in it lots and lots of times. As a child, you were in it lots and lots of times. This is a simple, ordinary place. Presence is so simple and ordinary that the mind doesn't want anything to do with it. The egoic mind, the ego does not want anything to do with it. It says, oh, this is all, this is boring. I want fireworks. I want my meditation to be fabulous and special and make me special and me fabulous. And if it's not doing that, we'll forget it. So that's the ego's take on meditation. It will go along with meditation as long as it thinks that there's something in it for it. But guess what? There isn't. There isn't anything in meditation for the ego. When you do enough meditation, you become the master of your ego, the master of your egoic mind. There's a certain mastery that happens. You are in the driver's seat. You can determine whether you get lost in that mind or not. You get to choose. The power to choose is developed. And that is so important. Once you have that power to choose whether to go into thought or not, you are well on your way to freedom. Because then it's just a matter of exercising that power of choice over and over again, exercising that muscle until it gets stronger and stronger, until eventually staying in presence is a choiceless choice. You wouldn't choose anything else and you rarely choose anything else again, because why would you? When you go deeply enough into presence, when you spend enough time in presence, you discover how richly rewarding it is. So if you stay with meditation long enough, it will get easier and easier, more and more rewarding, and you will become the master of your destiny. The master of your mind is being the master of your destiny. Because people's minds toss them to and fro. They create all sorts of problems, all sorts of emotions, and that becomes their life. There is another way to live. And many of us know this other way to live. And it doesn't have problems, and it doesn't particularly have emotions either. It's not to say there's anything wrong with emotions, but your relationship to emotions changes as you develop this prefrontal cortex, as you develop spiritually through meditation. You are not at the mercy of your emotions. You don't create emotions like you used to. And what I'm talking about is, of course, the negative emotions, anger, fear, guilt, shame, hatred, jealousy. You don't have those feelings anymore because you don't entertain the thoughts that would produce those feelings. You see those thoughts before they can turn into a feeling. That's what I mean by empowerment. You don't have to suffer in the ways that those feelings make you suffer, in the ways that your thoughts make you suffer. All you have to do is create this distance from thought, this capacity to choose. And I'll say it again, there's no other way to do it. Reading books will not create and strengthen this muscle. Reading books is easy. And you'll find that meditation is easy too. It really isn't difficult. It's only difficult to get started. Now I want to talk about another kind of meditation that I think is really also very helpful and beneficial. And it's something you can do with your eyes open. You can even do it moving around. But I like to do it sitting out on my back patio staring up at the sky. And this is a meditation on beauty. And you can pick anything that you want that's beautiful to you. It could be just one thing, like a flower or the sky or the clouds moving in the sky, the wind going through the trees. Or you can walk around, walk in nature. And as you're walking, you can notice what's beautiful. See beauty. Focus on beauty. Focus on seeing beauty. In order to do that, you're just noticing it. All you're doing is noticing. Noticing beauty. And very importantly, notice the impact of beauty on your being. Beauty has an impact on your being. Beauty is a bridge into presence. It brings you into presence. So notice beauty, and then notice how beauty makes you feel. We could say the same thing about gratitude. It's another example. Notice something that you're grateful for. Evoke gratitude within yourself. And then notice the experience of gratitude in your being. That's presence. Gratitude brings you into presence in the same way that beauty brings you into presence. So a practice of meditating on beauty is using the sense of sight as a focal point, as a meditation. We're talking about sound as a focal point, as a meditation. So you can use sight also as a focal point, as a meditation. sometimes people might meditate on the picture of their guru or a spiritual teacher, an enlightened master, or Jesus, even though we don't know what he looked like. Still, there is a power in focusing on a picture of a spiritual master. So many do that. Or they might focus on a candle flame. Or they might focus on a mandala. And then, of course, another form of meditation is to focus on sensations. There are always sensations that you can focus on, that you can pay attention to. Because for one thing, breathing is always happening, and there are always new sensations that are connected to breathing. A practice of paying attention to your breath is very much a practice of paying attention to sensations. Let your attention move from one sensation to the next, as it naturally will. It will move from noticing the sensations of breathing to noticing the sensation of your body against the chair or wherever it's sitting or leaning. You may notice the sensation of air against your skin. You may notice an itch, a tickle, or sometimes there are subtle energetic sensations, crawling sensations, sweeping sensations, burning sensations. Many times people, when they're meditating, will have sensations in their head that are various prickling, crawling, tickling kinds of strange sensations. Meditation does bring about certain energetic movements, and you can pay attention to those energetic movements. And when something like that isn't going on, you can pay attention to your actual body sensations again. So there's always something to pay attention to. And of course, the more you pay attention to your bodily sensations, the more the sense of aliveness that Eckhart Tolle talks about comes forward. When you focus on the sensation of aliveness in your hands or wherever it is that you most easily experience it, you can also try experiencing it in other parts of your body, because it's possible to feel aliveness in every part of your body. So if it's easiest first to feel it in your hands, notice it in your hands, and then notice it in your arms. Notice it in your shoulders. Notice it in your neck, in your face, in your ears, your top of your head. And then go down your body until your whole body feels alive and vibrating. That aliveness is a quality of presence. It's physical evidence of presence. It's how presence manifests in the physical body. It manifests as aliveness. So when you focus on aliveness in your body, you will increase those sensations and increase the deepening of presence. So this is a very good meditation as well. Some people are more auditory, and so listening is a good meditation for them. Some people are more kinesthetic, so paying attention to sensations is a good meditation for them. And some are more visual, so maybe the beauty meditation or candle meditation or something like that is going to be very pleasurable and effective. So you have to experiment with various types of meditation to find out what works for you, what allows you to go more deeply into presence, what's easiest for you to do, to feel presence, and then keep doing that. Or you can change it around. What I like to do is a more wide open kind of meditation, and that is just paying attention to whatever sense is being activated. And this is what awareness naturally does. It notices a sound, and then it might notice a sensation, and then it might notice breathing, then it might notice another sound, and then another sound, and another sensation. It might notice an intuition. It might notice a thought, a feeling, an energetic sensation. So it goes around and around. Awareness just naturally moves from one thing to another. But what happens for most people in the default position is that attention, awareness gets stuck on the egoic mind. And then its reality, the ego's reality, becomes your reality. When you can unstick your attention from the egoic mind and allow it to wander to everything else, and to not get stuck on the mind, that's being present. That's a meditation. When you're being present, you are simply not allowing your attention to get stuck on your mind. You're noticing your mind, but you're also noticing everything else that is arising in this space of consciousness. This awareness that you are is a sensory mechanism. Who you are is sensing life. Who you are is aware of life. It's experiencing life through its senses. So when you are in your senses and experiencing life through your senses and not getting stuck on the egoic mind, you are present. You are in your true self. You are in essence. That's it. That's all it is. It's just that simple experience. So meditation trains you to not get stuck on the egoic mind. It's pretty amazing that whenever you're not stuck on the egoic mind, the only other place you can be is presence, is in your true self. That's the only other thing that's here. But when your attention gets merged with the egoic mind, you join its reality and the false self, and you become, in a sense, the self who is living in a virtual reality. Thought is the only thing, it's the only experience in life that can take us out of life. Everything else brings us into life. It's part of life. But thought has this funny capacity, this strange capacity to take us into a virtual reality. It takes us out of reality. Our senses do not do that. Our senses are reality. So as long as your attention is focused on some sensory experience, you are in reality. You are in the true self. And that's the goal of the spiritual path. To be there, to live from there, to know yourself as that, and to not be fooled by the egoic mind. It's just a thought. Just a thought. That whole sense of self is a mirage. It's the only thing that can take you away from the truth. I'd like to do a guided meditation tonight also. Guided meditation is a listening kind of a meditation, because that's what you're doing, is you're just listening. And as I've said before, when you're listening, fully listening, or fully sensing in any other way, you can't be thinking. Listening and thinking are mutually exclusive. You can't fully listen to this guided meditation. You can't fully listen to anything and think at the same time. It's impossible. That's one of the reasons listening is such a good practice, because there's always something to listen to in your environment. So get very comfortable. Close your eyes. And for just a little while, we're going to explore something. First, just notice any thoughts that are spinning around in your head, if there are any. Maybe your mind is already quiet, or maybe there's still some chatter going on. Whatever's going on a mental or on an emotional level, just notice it. Just notice it. Just welcome it. Welcome it and let it be the way it is. If it's busy, just notice how busy your mind is. Notice the thoughts. That's all that you have to do. Notice your state of mind. It might be buzzing. It might be waving. It might be still. It could be anywhere from totally quiet to totally crazy. And that's not a problem. Whatever it's doing, it really doesn't matter. Because there's something else here that's listening to these words. And that which is listening to these words is perfectly still. That which is listening is very quiet, very accepting, very allowing. It allows all the thoughts to come and go. It allows all the feelings and all the sensations to just be there. It notices them. It allows them. It's completely fine with them. This that is listening to my words is completely fine with every single thought you've ever had and every single feeling you've ever felt and even everything you've ever done. It has totally embraced you and allowed you to make your choices, allowed you to be just as you are. It's allowed you to argue with yourself, fight with yourself, suffer. Meanwhile, it's just here. It's just here. It lives in that space that is beyond thought, that is in between your thoughts. So now just bring your attention to this space in which listening is happening. It's like stepping back a little bit farther and noticing that there's space around all of your thoughts, around your sensations, around your feelings. There's space. There's space for them to be here. And if you continue to notice, you'll see that it's a very large space. There's so much space that there's space for everything in the universe. And this space is the space that's hearing. The space is within you, and it's outside of you. It's everywhere. It's always been here. And this space has certain qualities. It allows, it accepts, it's compassionate, and compassionate in its allowing, and it's wise. this listener that you are, is all of these things: wise, allowing, accepting, compassionate, kind. You are all of those things. That's who you are. This space is very quiet, though. It's always here, but you don't always notice it unless you choose to notice it. As soon as you choose to notice it, it's right there, because you can't really not notice it if you choose to. You're always listening or aware of something. And this that listens and hears and is aware of sensations and aware of sounds and aware of sights, that's you. That is your spiritual being. That is your beingness. That is who you are. It just gets covered over by your chattering mind. But when things are in their right perspective, where the spaciousness is big and the thoughts are happening within that spaciousness, then it's like a figure ground shift. Your state shifts. And then truth with a capital T shows up. And this is the place of stillness. It's called many other things too: essence, peace, love, wisdom, the self, the true self, consciousness, awareness, the divine. So many words for this very simple experience that can't be put into words. This experience is so simple that the mind doesn't want anything to do with it. The mind is so bored with it. But the mind's only ammunition against it is a thought. Very convincing thoughts. But if you take away all of your thoughts, all you have is your true self. So how hard is that really, to find your true self? It's not really hard at all. Once you see that there's only one thing that covers it, and that's thinking. Most of all, your thoughts about me. Because most of the troublesome thoughts which take you away from stillness are thoughts about me. Because the me always has a problem that needs solving. Because that's the purpose of the mind: to create some waves in the stillness, to splash around, to be noisy. Just notice now, what is this space like? Bring your attention to the space for a moment and experience it for a bit as a way of getting to know it better. Just let yourself explore with your awareness what space is like. Any words you come up with won't really do justice to it. So just stay in the experience of it. Allow yourself to rest in the space for a while. Notice whatever you're experiencing and just letting it be there. Letting everything come and go as it naturally does. The mind might want to jump on a thought train, and if it does that, just bring your awareness back to the space, back to the space within which everything is happening. Let that thought fade away, as it naturally will if you don't focus on it. Give your attention to the space in which everything is occurring. So for a moment, just keep noticing what that space is like. So then as you gently open your eyes again, try to retain that sense of stillness, that sense of spaciousness. This stillness is another state of consciousness from the one most people function in. Meditation teaches you to live more and more from this space, which is who you are. You are the space in which everything is happening. You aren't a thing or even a person at all, but more of an experiencing of life. You are an awaring, an experiencing, a noticing. Okay, so I think I covered what I wanted to say about meditation. I wonder if there are any questions anybody has that about something I didn't cover or about something that I said. Did you all notice how possibly when I said that I was going to talk about meditation that your mind, some of your minds might have said, oh no, not meditation. That's all you have to do is just notice. Notice those kinds of resistances. Notice the kicking and screaming that the mind wants to do like a spoiled child. And I see that there are no questions, which is a really good sign. So whatever works for you to take you into this place of presence, if guided meditations work, that's wonderful. Do guided meditations. There are so many out there, so many available. And then I think that after you've done a guided meditation, like the one we just did, if you just sit there without any other words and just experience the place that it took you to, that's the next step of your meditation. And you might come to a point where you feel that that's all you wanted to do, is just be silent and not be listening to a guided meditation or listening to music. I started out not liking to meditate to quiet. I felt so antsy and squirrely. I didn't know how anybody could meditate to quiet. So I meditated to music. Eventually, that changed so that I prefer meditating in silence. I think what happens at a more advanced state of meditation is that you simply close your eyes and you are pulled into a deep state. It's as if energy moves in you and pulls you down deep, deep, deep into yourself. And so there's actually no practice any longer that you're doing. So you could say that the purpose of meditation is to get you to that place where you are meditated like that. That's my experience, and I know it's a lot of other people's experience. people who have meditated for a long time, they don't try to meditate. They don't do a particular practice because they no longer need to. It's like when you've used the boat to cross the water, you get out and you don't need the boat anymore. So the practices are like a boat that takes us to the other side. But when we don't need the practices anymore, you don't have to follow your breath. Or maybe you just do it for a few minutes. Sometimes I do that. I maybe count my breaths or follow my breath for a couple minutes. And then I feel it's like a big hand pulling me down, 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 deep. So that's where you're headed with all of this meditation. You're headed to a place where you are taken into a deep place. And in that deep place, you are being worked with by forces that are beyond you. Your energy field is being worked in. You're being arranged. You're being healed. Your energy field is being cleared. So there are other things that happen in meditation besides you experiencing presence. There are other things that happen in meditation that we aren't privy to, that are beyond us, that are happening on energetic levels, that relate to clearing and raising our vibration and helping us to become who we're meant to become. So this is a deep and powerful process that you get involved in when you commit yourself to meditation. You have opened yourself up to spiritual forces. I wish you all well. I hope so much that you are inspired. And I have an online course that I built that is specifically designed to help you get established in spiritual practices. You can join it anytime and do it at your own pace. And it introduces many different practices that will help you get started and that I think are really enjoyable too. It's my best shot at helping people become meditators and to go deeply into presence.